Well, welcome to the second in an ongoing series of teleforums designed to keep pastors and religious leaders around the country updated on the latest concerning the novel coronavirus and especially its impact on religious liberty. I'm Jeremy Dice, an attorney with First Liberty Institute.
And I'm Justin Butterfield, another attorney here at First Liberty.
Well, Justin, a lot has happened since our last conversation last week, a week ago today, as a matter of fact. Those who joined us remember that you gave a very helpful analysis of how to think through the government's approach to curbing the effects of the coronavirus. And as you'll recall, the questions we received expressed mainly the same thing. How do churches do church when we can't gather together as a group?
Well, that's right, Jeremy. And if anyone missed that call, it's available on our website at firstliberty.org. And the bottom line is this: all of us are working to limit the impact of the coronavirus. And with a few exceptions, I've been generally pleased with the response of local government to this issue. But let's talk more about that later. I know we have some very special guests, and we want to get to that right away.
Yes, we do. And by way of further preview, stick around after our special guests because we want to bring you a story from one of our own clients about how his church works within the CDC's recommendations to maintain a sense of community during this very difficult time. One other programming note, because we have so much to fit in today, we won't be able to take any questions live on the air today. But the good news is we have another show scheduled 1 week from today, same time and same number. And we're working on maybe one or two special episodes between now and then. So be sure to check firstliberty.org regularly for more information about that. Okay, before I introduce our representatives from the White House, let me remind you now that this is an off-the-record... So right about here, we had a lovely conversation with some representatives from the White House. It's fairly typical for those updates to be off-the-record and unrecorded, which is exactly what happened here and why you're listening to this filler now, but keep listening.
Yes, if you missed this call live, you missed it entirely. But don't worry, there's more. Keep listening. Not only will you hear the rest of the conversation and interview we did with First Liberty's fascinating client and Northern Ireland policeman turned rural Nebraska pastor, Paul Malcolmson, we decide to record a bonus episode as well. The interview with Paul will start in just a moment if you keep listening. And when you're done, go over to our website, firstliberty.org, and listen to the bonus episode.
But not yet. For now, keep listening as we go through some good news and have our interview with Paul Malcolmson. All right, it's time now to turn to stories from around the nation. While church services and religious gatherings may have been disrupted, it seems like most have managed to make what we all believe is just a temporary adjustment.
That's right, Jeremy. And while it has presented challenges, I am thankful to note how concerned everyone seems to be to make this as minimal as possible. And in fact, there have been several stories about creative ways in which churches have responded. I saw a few stories, one from Iowa, one from Wisconsin, and I think one from Tennessee, of churches holding drive-in church. So instead of going inside and gathering, church members turned into their parking lot, and they turned their parking lot basically into a drive-in movie theater lot. They stayed in their cars. They turned on a FM station on their car that was listening to a short-range, low-power FM radio transmitter that their pastor was preaching through up front. And so it was just like a drive-in theater. They were there in their cars listening to their pastor and seeing their pastor preach up in front of them. And I thought that was especially creative.
Yeah, I saw that too. I also saw the story of Reverend Nick Bruckner of Unalakleet Covenant Church in Alaska. I hope I pronounced that right. According to the report I read, Bruckner preached outside through a microphone to his congregation of 35 who were all sitting in their vehicles while he stood outside in the blowing wind and sub-freezing weather. I also saw a report about a Catholic priest in Maryland offering drive-through confession. He would sit on a chair in the parking lot and maintain the 6-foot social distance required by the CDC, keeping away from the car in order to hear his parishioners' confessions. And then a number of African-American congregations in Fort Worth, Texas, worried that students out of school may not have access to regular meals. And so they decided to band together and turn their churches into food distribution centers.
Well, that's a great example of how churches are caring for their communities right now, Jeremy. And I also saw that churches in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, are coming together, delivering necessities to those who cannot leave their homes. So like the pastors in Fort Worth, they're distributing food to those in need, and they're operating a helpline center to field other requests for assistance at this time.
Wow, that really is a fantastic story, and I'm sure there are many, many more. If your church has come up with a creative way in which to serve your community, I hope you'll drop us a note on our Facebook page and let us know. Justin, part of what First Liberty Institute does is help houses of worship keep the doors open so they can serve their communities, both in times like these that are more challenging and in more normal circumstances. For instance, in Walt Hill, Nebraska, Paul Malcolmson is the pastor of Light of the World Gospel Ministries. It's a multi-ethnic congregation that has outgrown its own building but has had some trouble building a new one. This week, we reached out to our old friend Paul Malcolmson, who, as you'll hear shortly, is originally from Northern Ireland but now calls this small town in Nebraska home, in order to hear how his congregation has responded to the guidance of the CDC and others. Pastor Malcolmson, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
In the few minutes we have, tell us what you and your church have done so far to maintain your religious community during the coronavirus challenge.
Well, like most churches, we didn't have any contingency plans for dealing with this outbreak. I don't think most churches did, but we've been taking basically advice from the medical experts and political leaders on television, and we've tried to keep within their recommendations. We've tried just practically to create suitable channels of communication for our own leaders, namely using live stream to discuss a path ahead for our church. And we've also had to create new innovative channels to keep ministry going. We split our whole congregation into groups of 10 and under on Sunday, depending on families and geographical location. We made sure that every host was spiritually mature, able to lead a group, and then they had to have Wi-Fi so that we could live stream. But our format was basically between 10 a.m. and 10:15, we had local fellowship with those that were meeting in our houses, and it was an opportunity to see how everybody was doing and dealing with this trial. We could identify particular needs if anyone was struggling, etc. And at 10:15, we would then all meet online collectively to live stream, and I was able to interact with each group individually. And we also brought the major needs before the whole church, and so the host was able to communicate with me what the needs were, etc. And then we also shared testimonies. There was an interesting testimony from one of our Native American sisters, Pat Phillips. She couldn't find any toilet roll in the house. And of course, at the moment, we all appreciate the importance of toilet roll. And she had run out of toilet roll, and she just shared her testimony. We were able to share it with everyone. And she just prayed and asked the Lord to help her, because she tried in quite a few shops and couldn't find any. And she said later that day, she went into her child's wardrobe, and there was a bag of 16 toilet rolls in the wardrobe that she did not know anything about. So just little simple stories like that in the midst of this trial just encouraged everyone. I would then share online a message on Sunday. But we've also seen people who had drifted away from church coming back. So that's been an interesting thing. A lot of people re-engaging over this last 4 weeks that we haven't seen for 3 years, 5 years. So it's just been a blessing that in the midst of the storm, that there's definitely been big things happening.
Well, hi, Pastor Malcolmson. And let me ask you this. How would you encourage those listening, pastors and religious leaders, to respond to this unique circumstance?
That's a good question. I think it's important that we have a plan to keep our ministry going. We need to be flexible. We do not choose the seasons. We simply have to adjust to them. And I think it helped me being a police officer in Northern Ireland for 15 years, because we were always used with dealing with the unexpected. And we had a philosophy, always expect the unexpected. So, but we should never forget that the spiritual aspect of ministry is the most important, even at the moment. My old pastor used to say this: we have a choice. We either curse the darkness or we switch on a light. And this, to me, is a great opportunity for us to shine. We need to acknowledge there's a lot of uncertainty all around us. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of even hopelessness. And we need to minister into that, or else we are failing in our call and we're missing the moment. And, you know, God has sovereignly allowed this season to come. So we need to minister to where people actually are. We need to put the ball in the net, as they say in Ireland. People need encouraged. They need direction. They need help. And this is an opportunity for us to share our faith to share our hope and to share the certainty that we have. So I would say make sure that each church has communication, an open communication with the congregation, that they don't lose touch with where people actually are and that people drift in the midst of it. Make sure that you have a good close relationship with your leadership and relay to them your direction, your concerns. And, you know, there's elderly people in the congregation. They're fearful. There's those that are weak in their faith. There's those that have unique needs at this moment. So some need spiritual help. Some need emotional help. Some need practical help. So Christians are not exempt from storms. But I shared this on Sunday in our live stream that I shared about the story, the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. And we should remember that both of these men experienced the same storm, but the storm had a different effect on both. The wise man, it says, when the rain came and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house, it fell not. Why? Why? Because it was founded upon a rock. But the foolish man, whenever the storm came, it fell because he had no foundation. So I think it's important as leaders that we relay that hope we have, that confidence that we have, and people need hope. And this is an incredible opportunity for us in the providence of God just to share that message of hope.
Well, Pastor Malcolmson, thanks so much for joining us and for telling us of your story as well. If those of you who are listening would like to know more about Pastor Malcolmson's case, I urge you to go to firstliberty.org/LOTW to learn more about his case. Well, Justin, that about wraps it up for today. I want to remind folks that we will continue to provide more information on teleforums like this one as the weeks unfold. Be sure to check firstliberty.org for more resources and the announcements of any special calls we might have, but be sure to join us next week at noon Eastern using the very same phone number at the very same time when we hope to have Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton to join us for an important discussion.
And be sure to send us your questions throughout the week. You can send them anytime to askfli@firstliberty.org, and we hope to have time next week to answer a few of the questions we've been receiving recently.
And don't forget to check out our bonus episode in which Justin and I talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of the executive orders issued in the past week around the country. It should be on our website also, along with this partial recording of this episode at firstliberty.org. But that's all for now. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeremy Dice.
And I'm Justin Butterfield.
Have a safe weekend, and we look forward to talking with you more next time.